Well, she's been steady at the helm, despite a number of incidents that have occurred on her watch. And I'm convinced that she will go down as one of the stronger secretaries of Homeland Security.
She came in with this mantra of one DHS, which was kind of a tall order given given the roots and origins of all the disparate agencies that came into the department. Compared to 4 years ago, how unified and how coherent is Homeland Security compared to where it was when she started?
Well, I think we all will agree that it's better, but it's still a work in progress. We have 22 agencies that have now been brought under the umbrella of DHS, and obviously the culture of each one of those agencies are unique. And so the challenge for 240,000 employees is to get everybody on the same page. And to say that it's been improved under her watch would be absolutely correct.
In terms of specific mission areas or functions that Homeland Security is important for, are there one or two or three that you would point to and say she really moved the ball down the field?
Well, I think this whole disaster response mechanism in our country, whether it's flood, hurricane, tornado, wildfires, or whatever, we have made DHS primarily through the FEMA mission, Johnny on the spot. We have pre-positioned assets all over the country. We now have men and women trained in virtually every aspect of disaster response. So in that respect, we've done well. We have put a robust system of educating the public that they too are part of the whole system of protecting this country from terrorists. And that notion of see something, say something has caught on, so that people in the general population, if they look at something and it doesn't look right, something clicks in now and say, you know, I really need to report that to the authorities and let them figure out whether it's right or wrong. So we've come a long way. There are still some challenges. There's this whole challenge of cybersecurity and whether or not everybody in that cyberspace are working together. There's the notion of intelligence sharing between agencies and whether or not those agencies continue to work as cooperatively as need be. The hiccup with the Boston Marathon, it was a problem in terms of the individuals traveling to Russia and not being picked up and put on watch lists like they should have. So we continue to work on that. But the response to the Boston Marathon bombing, by all shapes of the imagination, was absolutely textbook in terms of first responders, police, fire, ambulance, everybody working on the same page. So we've come a long way.
When it comes to selecting Janet Napolitano's successor, I mean, given the broad spectrum of responsibilities that DS has, all the mission areas that they have, how do you pick the right leader for a department like that? What sort of qualities or background should President Obama be looking for?
Well, I think somebody needs to have a broad reservoir of experiences associated with both law enforcement and policy making, but also understanding that the nature of terrorism in this country has changed from the 9/11 situation to how do we identify lone wolves in this country? How do we look at whether or not the new terrorists are domestic terrorists and not foreign terrorists, but also how do we continue to train those individuals in various agencies with the best equipment and best information possible so that we can continue to detect every incident, analyze it to whether or not there's a terrorist nexus to it, so that we can keep Americans safe. And I can assure you, it's a 24/7 occupation that whoever leads this agency must be able to brass and inspire the men and women who work in it.
In terms of leadership at the department, I guess it's a good thing that Secretary Napolitano has agreed to stick around till, I think she said, September, just because of the fact that the organizational chart over there has some pretty big holes in it at the moment. The deputy secretary is vacant or acting, the general counsel, a few of the undersecretaries. Are you troubled by how many open seats are over there at the department right now?
And I'm still troubled by the over-reliance on outside contractors by the agency. That continues to be a problem. It's been cited by the General Accounting Office, Government Accounting Office, on numerous occasions. We still have not built the internal capacity that one would need for such an agency as this. You know, we're the third largest government agency, but we're the newest kid on the block. So it's absolutely important, not just at the secretarial level, but all of the sub-cabinet positions be filled with permanent people. That's how you build a team, by having leaders in place. And so that is an issue, and I would encourage the president to appoint a secretary for ultimate confirmation by the Senate as soon as possible, but also that the deputies and other vacancies that exist should be also filled as soon as possible.
Last thing before we let you go, Congressman, I think every Homeland Security Secretary has said that their job would be substantially easier if the oversight burden that they have to meet before Congress was lessened. You know, I think I always forget the number, but there's dozens and dozens of congressional committees and subcommittees that they report to. Does that need to be fixed from your point of view?
Well, there's 104.
I knew you'd know the number.
Subcommittees that the department responds to. It's almost an impossible task, and there's no question. Just like other agencies of government primarily respond to one committee of jurisdiction, the Department of Homeland Security should be no different. The way it is now, it's a constant juggling act to get information and resources to those 104 committees, and clearly, we can do it a better way by centralizing jurisdiction in the Homeland Security Committee rather than spreading it out like it is.